We stopped on page 213 in the book Minhaj al-Muslim. And just to recap for those who missed last Sunday, we were talking about the etiquette or manner between Muslims of the issue of boycotting or avoiding one another. And the main theme over there was avoiding one another, not to avoid one another more than 3 days, should be less than 3 days. And that was the whole discussion last Sunday. Today we continue with point number 12 that Imam Abu Bakr al-Jazari has put over here. And this is something very basic and trivial. I know some might say that, oh, this we know already from childhood times, but what's the purpose of repeating? The purpose of repeating is to reinforce and remind ourselves. And what the Imam has written in his book in point number 12 of etiquettes between Muslims is the issue that a Muslim should not backbite, scorn, insult, or ridicule another Muslim. The ayah that he quotes is from Surah Al-Hujurat, Surah 49, verse 12 and 11, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us not to do certain things against our Muslims. And I know that this is something very basic, but the thing is, in spite of it being basic, we Muslims are plagued like a disease with these things. It's a malaise, a sickness. We know it's wrong, backbiting, but we often it happens from our tongue. And sometimes it's so not realizing, sometimes it happens inadvertently, and at times people do it knowingly, intentionally. Bottom line is that we know we need to get rid of it, but at times it's difficult. The ayah is saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْدَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. Oh, you believe, stay away from many kinds of suspicion. Rarely, some kinds of suspicions are sin. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, and do not spy on one another. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, and don't let one of you backbite another one of you. Why? Because أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Would you prefer to eat the uncooked raw flesh of your own Muslim brother? فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. No, you would not. Rather, you would dislike that. Now, a very small point in explanation of this ayah. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the example, the simile, the parable of flesh of your dead brother? Because when you see your brother, your own blood brother who dies in front of you, now you have to bury him, you have to give ghusl. If at the time of ghusl, let's say somebody says, take a knife, cut this flesh and eat it, you slap that person who says this to you. And this is exactly what's happening when a person is backbiting someone. So therefore, in order to repel us, in order to push us back from this kind of thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing this example of eating the flesh of your brother. So that we can be really, Allah is saying, فَكَرَحْتُمُوا, as you dislike, as you scorn that thing, as you hate that thing, so should you hate this thing. So, and the other purpose that the scholars say that this example is given of eating the dead flesh, so that anytime somebody is doing backbiting, the other person who's listening should say, brother, you're eating the flesh. Oh yeah, I'm not eating flesh. But yes, this is what you're doing, this is what Allah says. That backbiting is equal to eating your brother's flesh. And he mentions another ayah, again from Surah Al-Hujurat, verse 11. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِنْ قَوْمٍ عَسَى أَنْ يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِنْ نِسَاءٍ عَسَى أَنْ يَكُونَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهُمْ. Here he's saying, oh, you believe, let not a group scorn or scoff at another group, insult, meaning سَخَرْ, or يَسْخَرْ literally means sarcasm, making fun of them, teasing them, taunting them, insulting them, any of these things can be included there. لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِنْ قَوْمٍ, let not one group of people come do this to another. If a qawm is talking, if Allah is talking about a qawm, already included in it automatically is the issue of individual, one person. And that is why it's inclusive. It does not need to be specified. And why is Allah telling us that don't do this? Asa and yakunu khayran minhum, perhaps the one who you're making fun of is better than you. You don't know who's good in the eyes of Allah. Allah is the one who only knows who is good in front of our own, in front of Him. So we don't know who is very muhib very close to Allah, very beloved to Allah, and we may be hurting their feelings, we may be breaking their heart. And therefore, by breaking their heart, we are jeopardizing our own akhirah. وَلَا نِسَاءُ مِنْ نِسَاءٍ Allah SWT is equating both equally. Nor should the female do the same thing. No female and no male should make fun or insult one another, brothers and sisters in Islam. وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ And also do not call one another by names. وَلَا تَنَابَذُوا بِالْقَارِ وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Do not make fun of another, degrading them and defaming them. Like, oh, you don't know this person. Like coming out in the public. If somebody has done a mistake, we should cover those mistakes. Not that we publicize it. If we publicize it, we are defaming the character of that person. Oh no, that's my right. I have to let the people know that be safe from this individual. This individual is so bad, blah, blah, blah. No, this is not the way to do it. Public defamation campaign, publicly, you know, insulting someone or publicly degrading them is not the sunnah of Muhammad SAW, nor is it allowed in the Sharia of Allah. So what should we do if somebody is really that dangerous? We should let the people, authorities know, people in charge. Of course, in an Islamic system, you have the Khalifa or the mayor of the city or the people in charge, the town manager, things like that. Or like, let's say somebody applies for a job right here in the masjid. I don't have to come out in the public on a Friday Jummah khutbah and defame that person. I can just go to the masjid committee or the board of trustees and say, listen, it came to me that this person applied for a job over here, but you know what, this is what the scholar says, not backbiting. Because this is a trust, a manner. That person's going to work. And you know, you are hiding something in your heart. You know that there is something really wrong with this person. So you let the person who's pertinent, in this case, an example, the Masjid Committee or Board, you let them only know, not the whole board, just one person, maybe the president or the chairman, and let them know that, look, this is valid information, and you can check it out, you can make tasdeeq, you can verify it, and if it's true, then you have the right to save an institution from the onslaught of an individual. This is the Islamic tariqah or Islamic way of thinking. But not that we insult one another. وَلَا تَنَابَذُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ Nor do we call each other names, nicknames. This is something that we do from childhood. We don't realize. Like somebody's fat, we say, hey, Modu. You know, I mean, I'm talking about Urdu, but in English, you can say, hey, fatso. Somebody is very skinny. Oh, Lakari, Kaagar Gora. This is exactly what this ayah is talking about. We like to do this. Or you, pencil stick, come here. Why am I calling him pencil stick? Oh, it doesn't mind, we are friends, we are buddies, you know, we joke one another. No, Allah is saying, joking or not joking, this is a violation. Because if we don't check this habit at young age, till old age it happens. Because even if the person is not minding, Allah is minding. Do I want to aggravate Allah? No. Everybody has a self-esteem, self-respect. And even if they're a very close friend of mine and they don't mind me joking like that with calling names, Allah is saying, don't do that, you're violating my Sharia. So kids, no more calling each other names, nicknames, huh? Alright. Next thing, continuing the ayah, Allah SWT says, that's an ismul fusuqu ba'da al-iman, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَهُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ How bad is it to insult one's brother after having faith? Allah SWT is saying, you are negating your faith, your iman. That's an ismul fusuqu ba'da al-iman. After you have acquired iman, after you've got iman, and now you're going towards something that is opposite of iman, kufr, on the fact, by insulting and mocking and sarcastic at your own fellow Muslim brother. And whosoever does not repent, then such are indeed wrongdoers. Whoever does not repent from these things, indeed they are the very zalimeen. Allah calls them zalim. You have done oppression to your own fellow Muslim brother or sister. Zulm. And if you don't make tawbah in this dunya, this dhulm will be paid back manifold on Yawmul Qiyamah, Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, all these ghibas, all these namimas, all these slanders and backbiting, all this sakhar and sikhriya will be accounted for. Everything that we've done and said will be accounted for. And guess where it's going to be taken from us? There's no currency up there, there's no dollar or dinar or dirham. The currency only there, up there, is what? Our a'mal. Not just good deeds, a'mal. Good deed and bad deed. Like the very long hadith, I don't want to mention that so long, but a short part of it, where Rasulullah said that on the Day of Judgment, just to settle the account, settle this dispute, settle these issues of them, Allah is going to take our good deeds and give it to the people whom we have oppressed on dunya. And if we oppress a lot of people on earth, Allah is going to keep on taking our good deeds and keep giving it to these people who have oppressed. And then if still there's some people left who have been oppressed by me and they're demanding haq, right, and I have nothing left in my account, I died in this dunya, a lot of good deeds, all of it is gone. So then Allah is going to start taking their bad deeds. That's why I said it's not just good deeds. It's a'mal is the currency. Deeds are the currency. Whether good or bad, they are the currency. So if we run out of good deeds currency, and we still have to pay, we owe a debt to people, Allah is going to take their bad deeds, their sins, and put it in my account. How ironic. How sad. How depressing. This person died thinking I have a lot of good deeds, but ends up bankrupt. Not only bankrupt, but starts accumulating sins of others. Sins that this person has never done in this life. But I have to go on their account. Why? Because they did dhulm. And that is why Allah, Rasulullah said in the hadith, فَاتَّقُوا الظُّلْمِ فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ ظُلُمَاتِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. Beware and fear, be warned and fear dhulm. Because dhulm on the day of judgment will become darkness. Darkness. You go there with the nur and iman, you go there with the light of your amal and good deeds, suddenly because of them, all the light is going down, diminishing so much that it's pitch dark. And then he gives the hadith, the Rasulullah said, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْغِيبَ. Do you know what is ghibah? He asked a question, explorative question, and the Sahaba said, of course, we don't know. Allah wa Rasulu a'lam, Allah and His Prophet knows best. So Rasulullah replied back saying, ذِكْرُكَ أَخَوْتَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. Your mentioning of your brother with which he doesn't like, feels bad, irritated. Oh, but I said it on his face and I can say it behind his back. No, this is not what Rasulullah is saying. If Rasulullah has forbidden something to say behind his back, we don't say it, even if we've said it in front of their face. This is a common misconception in the Muslim Ummah. No, this is not backbiting. I already said it on that brother's or sister's face, and because this is their bad, and it's my haq now to publicize this bad about them. Because when you're backbiting, are you praising them? Common sense, common question, logical. When you're backbiting somebody, when you're doing riba, are you praising that individual? No. You're not praising that individual. You're rather doing what? Attacking. There's two philosophies over here. Look at the hikmah of Rasulullah. Number one, he's saying, there's another narration that says, why you shouldn't mention him behind his back? Because he is not there present to defend. What if you maybe just saying a lie? Maybe just made up, concocted on your own. That person is not mawjood, not present to defend and say and fight his case. So therefore now the person who you're talking to will just believe in you. And that too is also wrong, because in Surah Hujurat Allah says very clearly, there is somebody, in jaakum fasiqun binnabain fatabayyanu. If someone comes to you with the news, whether general news or news about one individual, don't just blindly agree and believe in them. فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Verify, testify. But what if that thing is true? And that's what the Sahaba asked. They said, even if what is said is truly found in that brother, he, the Prophet said, إِن كَانَ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ اِرْدَبْتَ وَإِن لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهِ مَا تَقُولُ فَقَدْ بَهَدْتَ. If what you said is truly found in him, meaning in that brother about whom you backbiting, then you have backbitten him. If it is not truly found in him, then you have slandered him. This is the difference between slander and riba. Slander and riba, this is the difference. Slander is something that is false. And backbiting is something that is true. It's true about him, you said it behind it, and that's backbiting. But if it's not true about him and you said it behind his back, it's slander. And both are forbidden in Islam. And that is why. What are the consequences of this? It divides the hearts, divides the unity of Islam, divides the unity of the community. It creates a dissension amongst people. People will not feel like coming. All those Sundays that we covered before this, the last 3-4 Sundays, all those things that we talked about, humbleness and humility to Muslims, unity of Muslims, brother to Muslims, all of that is shattered into pieces just by one riba, one backbite. Oh, he said this about me to you? Wow. Oh, he said this about me? Imagine if every individual in the community doing backbiting, how can we forge unity? So what do we must tell from all of these khulasas of Kalam? That backbiting and slandering and scorning and scoffing people is a tool of shaitan. Shaitan, the devil, uses this and uses our tongues to create disunity. And we should realize that we are fighting shaitan, and that is not what, do we do. And he goes on to say, there's another hadith, he says, إِنَّ دِنَاءُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَرَاضِكُمْ حَرَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. This is a hadith that came before also in the previous chapter. Where it is forbidden for you to transgress against your brother's lives, wealth and honor. Remember the three things that are honorable for a Muslim brother with another Muslim brother. Their life is honorable and respectful, and their wealth, their man, and their dignity, respect, ilb. That you don't insult them, you don't disrespect them, you don't be rude to them. These three things are protected. But if ghibah is done, these three things are not protected. And the other hadith he mentions, kullu muslim ala muslim haramun. For every Muslim upon another Muslim is haram. Forbidden what? Damuhu wa maluhu wa irduhu. His dam, his blood. We can't kill a Muslim. There's no way any Muslim can kill another Muslim. Illa min salat. Except three that Surah Furqan tells us. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. Allah says that those people, Muslims are those people who don't call another Allah besides Allah, who don't call another Ilah besides Allah, and who do not kill the human soul, the Muslim soul, إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, except by truth. And what is the haqq? There are only three Muslims that can be killed, and that too by the code of law, not by an average Muslim just pick up an arm and kill. Number one Muslim, who? Someone who has killed another, murderer. That's called dam, qisas and diyat, in the sense that this is the aspect that I am the victim, my brother or father was killed, now the murderer who killed it, I can demand life for life, or I can take money. I say, okay, I forego his life, but his life has to go according to the Quran. That's the only Muslim that can be killed. Any other on the street cannot. Part number two, another Muslim that can be killed is one who is a married person and does zina. So that the Sharia, this is capital punishment in Islam. And the third one is someone who openly declares and publicizes that they have left Islam and have become a non-Muslim. وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ اسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. So apart from these three people, any Muslim out on the street, we cannot just kill. And that's what the hadith is talking about, that their life, their money, assets, and man, wealth, and their honor and respect is protected upon a Muslim. And it's haram for them to take that. Finally, he says, بِحَسْبِ مِنْ مِنَ الشَّرْءِ أَنْ يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. It is enough even for a man that he degrades his Muslim brother. Degrading another Muslim brother. And likewise for sisters amongst females, if a sister degrades another Muslim sister, this is both forbidden. Because the word used by the Prophet is أَنْ يَحْقِرَ تَحْقِيرِ حَقِيرِ حِقَارِ. Insulting, humiliating, degrading, defaming. It is not halal, it is not allowed, permissible for a Muslim to degrade another Muslim. And whenever that's happening, others have to step in and say, brother, please stop, this is not right. Now thinking of all of this, khulasa of this kalam, or one more hadith he mentioned, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةُ قَطَّاتُ. Rasulullah said that the tailspeller shall never ever enter Jannah, paradise. Who's the tail? Qattat is one who goes around storytelling, tales. Oh, did you hear? Did you hear, brother? Did you hear? Did you hear what happened? Did you hear what happened in their house? Like, A, they're very nosy, pokey, always interfering other people's affairs. What happened? Oh, that, give a smile to that. Oh, that rifta came for your daughter. What happened? You guys didn't like it? Something wrong with that? None of your business. Bug off. If I have to marry my daughter, I'll marry. Why do you have to unnecessarily pester me? And that is, if the people are ma'asim, they do reveal something, oh yeah, this happened. Now they go on, tail spreading, qattat. Did you hear that family, fulan family living in that city, their daughter was proposed by that thing and it turned out to be a bad and this, and going on spreading. Whatever the cause. Now, this is public defamation campaign of that family. How on earth would that family be able to feel united in the community, brotherhood, ukhuwah, unity, ittihad? And this is what Rasulullah is saying, the one who goes around spreading, there's a special word for this kind of person in the hadith, or in our country, in Pakistan, I don't know in other countries, Even the word that is there, it's very gender specific. With all due respect to sisters, don't take me wrong, but this is how the culture has. Bijamalo kya kar di? Bas, idhar se udhar, udhar se udhar. Bijamala nahi hai. Kyunki uska time hi nahi hota, bas kama raha, bahar rozi kama raha. Uska time kidhar baith ke tales spreading kar. But with all due respect, there is, we've seen, I've encountered many of these women, and I tell my mother, why do you allow this woman to come in the house? She should not even step house. Start filling this house. Because she's coming, we're talking about a long jannah and akhirah. She's talking about hearsay. Tailspeller, qattar. Did you hear what happened? They have what happened? Did you know they lost their job? You know how I have nothing to worry about other people. I have enough headache of my own family, and let alone you here come and tell me about other saw other family, hundred other families. And look at the warning. Rasulullah said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. He or she who does this will not enter Jannah. They have salat. Imagine 50, 60 years of namaz, salat, down the drain. Imagine 30, 40 years of fasting, Ramadan, siyam, down the drain. Imagine 30, 40 years of tarawih, reading Quran, down the drain. So Rasulullah is saying, will not enter Jannah. I like something, Brother Adnan is not here. In the earlier program today, earlier between us and Maghrib, Brother Adnan, he gave a very nice presentation. He said, doing easy good deeds is very good, it's easy. It's easy to do good deeds. But it's very difficult to protect it. Mm-hmm. What are we doing to protect our amal? It's very easy to pray five times a day. Although some might argue so much, it's very difficult to pray. But bottom line is, it's easy to pray, easy to fast, easy to do Qiyam, easy to read Quran, easy to do zikr, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah. It's easy to do a lot of good deeds. Be good to parents, give somebody a food, give somebody a flower. It's easy to give somebody a khajur, a date, smile in somebody. These are all deeds. It's very easy to do all these things. But what are we doing to protect it? Because we may be piling up huge mountains. Huge mountains of good deeds. We may be piling up. But we're not doing anything to preserve and procure it. The best example, khulasa of this discussion and thus today, my dear brothers and sisters, the best example is the example of money. How hard we work to earn money. Day in, day out. In the morning, Fajr, got out of the house, 8 hours, 10 hours a day, hectic traffic, traveling, commuting, work, stress, this and that, come home, at the end of the month or at the end of the week, got the paycheck, got the money, spend some on the kids, some on the family, together, saving some money, protecting. But if you have that money and you leave it in the front lawn, in a bag, what will happen? Will it stay there? If you leave the money, you are exposing your money. Oh, forget it, not even in the lawn. Let's say you're not saving the money in the bank. You save the money in the house. And someone comes and breaks in and steals everything from the house. You didn't do, because you didn't lock the house, you didn't protect the money in the proper place. So our money, our tijarat, our asset, our wealth is akhirah, a'mal, deeds. And in terms of deeds, our asset is not bad deeds, it's good deeds. A'mal salihah. Let us keep this in mind and make an ahd, make a vow or oath to ourselves that, oh Allah, from tonight I will work hard and I will also encourage my wife or husband to protect our collective communal asset, good deeds. And if we get into this protective mode, defensive mode, believe you me, brother and sister, it will become very easy for you. Next time you see somebody backbiting, you'll step right in, say, excuse me, brother, with all due respect, please, you're doing riba, please stop. Where did you get this courage from? Oh, I've been practicing protection, defense, security of my deeds. That's why I got the boldness, the courage to say this. So many times we've been to so many gatherings, you must have experienced, we've been to so many gatherings like Aqiqah, Walima, something, and somebody starts a backbiting over there. And maybe the person is not realizing they're backbiting, but they're doing. The other people sitting on the couches in the living room and talking to each other, they let it go by. They say, oh yeah, listen. And the excuse they give, oh, I'm just listening. I'm not the culprit. Hey, I'm not the sinner. He's the sinner. He did it. He. No, you are equally to blame. Because Rasulullah said, if you cannot stop burai, bad, then you are part of it. Because he said, silence is the indication of yes, approval, affirmation. If you're silent in front of somebody doing backbiting, you're saying to them in an invisible way, yes, I'm okay with it. Yes, you're doing good job, Shabbos, keep going. But if you're not okay with it, First thing he'll say, please brother, stop. Let's say the brother or sister stubborn, keep on doing. He asks them once, twice, thrice, they keep doing behavior, bye bye. You know what you're supposed to do? Give another hint, indication. Say, okay, I'm going to put my fingers, I'm going to put my index finger in my ears. Imagine sitting in a aqiqah, walima, in a shadi or somewhere, and somebody sitting like this. You're going to make a big issue out of you, right? People going to ask, tell them, go ahead. Can't be better. No, no. You know, people are all hibad gar. Imagine that day comes in Islam, in Iman, in Mu'min, that people have the courage to put their fingers only on the air and say, they're doing hibad, I don't want to listen. And if that is becoming a nuisance, if I'm really a nuisance, okay, please excuse me, can I leave the gathering? I have to go. How many have guests? I have my mind. Come here, you're guests. How are you leaving? No, I cannot stay here because I can make you upset, but I cannot make who upset? Allah. Is Allah bigger or you who invited me to your aqiqah, walima, shadi, whatever? Allah. But we leave Allah alone. Because why? Allah is right, unseen. At the gathering, at the party, Allah is not there, visibly. He's there by His knowledge and everything, but we forget Allah at that moment. Say, no. Yeah, Shakur Bhai is invited to his daughter's wedding, I have to be here. No more, no problem. Let the riba go on, no problem. If this is going to continue in the Muslim Ummah, we're not going to get anywhere. And inshallah, we finish with this today, and next Sunday we continue from here, from point number 13, which is also very important, talks about the issue of reviving dispute and reconciliation between one another. What happens when we argue and dispute? How can we mend fences and find? JazakAllah khair wa akhazamu wa ameen wa salatu wa salamu wa shukri.